Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to continue our segment over here in Section 7 of the CCA Softball Mechanics Manual, which is the manual for NCAA, talking about some of the mechanics here. And last time we covered some force plays and some pre-pitch planning, but now we're going to talk about the next couple sections, which cover things including tag plays between two bases, some additional information.
Yeah, so tag plays. So at a base or home plate, the calling distance for this is 3 to 10 feet. Think about that just for a quick second.
Yeah, 3 feet's pretty close.
3 feet is really close. I have a picture in my mind of a U3 baseball, U3 Major League Baseball, U3 dude, mm-hmm. who is like over the bag.
Yeah.
I mean, he is looking down on the bag.
Get your nose in it.
Like, yeah, he's got his nose in it. So yeah, it needs to be that close. We talked a little bit about this in starting positions for a three umpire system. When you've got a runner on your bag mm-hmm. and you're on the line, you're supposed to be starting very close because you've got tag plays at that base for back picks and things like that.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a really cool place to be. So you're initially to obtain a point of base or plate position to read the play. So point of plate's easy. The plate has a point, you know, but point of base is not the flat side of mm-hmm. any of the bags, right? So if you're talking about third base, you're talking about the northwest corner of the bag. Don't come at me for how is my field. We're going to go with north is dead straight. It's center field, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, normally they position field so that the sun is out. Never mind.
Yeah. So what's the next point here, Pete? Well, you're coughing. You want me to get it?
Yeah, no, I got it. Right. So so as the runner and ball approach and the defender adjusts their position, move to a calling position that ensures that all of the elements are in front of you. Continue to read the play as it develops. Determine if obstruction, interference, and or a collision has occurred. Then adjust position as needed to see the application of a tag.
Yeah, so I was having this conversation. I was helping Mike UIC while he was out at the World Series 1 year, and I was with Todd, and we were talking about point of plate and adjustments and things like that. And he gave me some really, at the time, it was a little overwhelming to me. It was several years ago, and at the time it was a little overwhelming, but man, do I understand it. It's like start at point of plate mm-hmm. and then see where the ball is going to be thrown from. And make an initial adjustment, right? And then as the ball is coming in, you're looking at the players and where everybody is and make a final adjustment. Mm-hmm. So it's like change your position from where you started to point of plate, change your position again based on, you know, where the ball is going to be coming from or is coming from, and then change your position again based on where the people are coming. I'm like, man, I'm doing good just to get to damn point of plate at this point, you know? So hearing those three things is saying, wow, okay, yeah. And I understand it now. And, you know, as you build your habits, another thing that I got from Todd, right? But as you build your habits, you get to make these fine tuning adjustment type things.
So where does that really come in? Cool. So you mentioned point of plate, right? And there are people who are like, oh, point of plate is old fashioned. But you talked about point of plate and then two adjustments. Is making those adjustments get you ultimately maybe into what some people will consider a wedge position or anything else? Are you moving to that? Or is that wedge like an entirely different thought process?
Yeah, so it's different. We're going to talk about those. It's possibly we may get to it in this episode, depending on how much we pontificate mm-hmm. here. But the point of plate is a starting position, not a calling position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So you get to the point of plate so that you can then adjust to your calling position. And that calling position might be the 90 degree, the more traditional 90 degree, you know, USA, if you mm-hmm. will, so that you're seeing the leading edge of wherever they're sliding into or the wedge. And so we'll talk about those two things in a little bit.
Okay. So umpires must allow the entire play to conclude before rendering a decision. If anything non-routine occurs, the umpire should be prepared to describe the call verbally and with the appropriate signals.
Right. So, yeah, the first one additional element to consider I was going to bring up, does the defender maintain possession and control of the ball? So mm-hmm. you see this a lot. Show me the ball. You hear an umpire say, show me the ball.
Yeah.
You know, you get that tag play. I could say in NCAA, I try really hard to avoid that show me the ball stuff. If everybody's laying on the ground and it's rare that that happens in the NCAA level because usually, you know, they've been taught.
They already know.
Apply the tag and either show the ball to the umpire or at least don't lay on the ground with it. And so if the ball's not rolling around on the ground, I don't need you to show it to me in your glove. I know you got it. right? Mm-hmm. So we try not to say that, but
demonstrate control in some way, in which, like you said, the players usually do. They'll put a tag up and then their glove will be like in the air following it.
Yeah.
Or if they're holding it, they'll just lay it there, but you can see the ball is clearly controlled in the glove.
Right. Yep. So, but do make sure that they have it before you make the play, right? This comes into the additional elements to consider, because you want to make sure that you've seen the whole play conclude, right? And then, does the runner maintain contact with the base? I'm seeing this young girl who slid into third and was so excited that she made it. She jumped up, you know, in excitement, and the tag was still on her, and she immediately was banged.
As soon as she left.
It's like, got her. And then the last one is, does the runner attempt to dislodge the ball?
Why does that matter?
Well, you're not allowed to slap the ball out of somebody's hand.
Oh, what?
So, no, that's a rule.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Well, that would be cheating. Oh. Yep. So we're going to be watching that. So that's tag plays. Pretty simple as the mechanic of it is fairly simple, but they're some of the most difficult plays to call.
Yeah. And the thing is, at a base or home plate, they're slightly easier than what you've got in the next section, is like when it's between two bases, because then that can really iffy some of the swipe tags and some of the stuff like that.
Yeah, well, let's get into that. So what about between two bases, Pete?
So first thing you want to do is seek a position to see the tag side of the runner. How do you know what the tag side of the runner is?
Where's the ball and where's the runner?
There
who's
you go.
Going tagger? Yep.
Yeah, so it's, where's the person who's likely to make the tag? What side are they on? Where are they coming from? The field's a diamond, so there's a side.
That's right.
It's either inside the baseline or outside the baseline normally. So
for sure. And then it says, does the runner stay in the runner's lane? What is the runner's lane, Pete?
So that's a section of the field that only exists between home plate and first base. And it only exists a portion of the way up the line and continuing to the base. So we're talking about a section in foul territory that the runner must run in as they approach that base, so that they stay out of the way of things.
Yeah, I think that is 100% the accurate definition of runner's lane. And I think what the SUP might have been referring to here was not the base path, or not the baseline,
you think,
but
you're
the
talking
base
about
path.
Base paths?
Yeah, I think they are. Because between two bases for swipe tags and stuff like that, it's not between the plate and a base, right? So they said runner's lane, which is what you described.
Right.
I think what they're trying to say is base path.
Yeah, and it doesn't go on to say anything later. So it's they don't make that distinction, because it is important, as you said. The runner can run anywhere they want if there's no play being made. If they want to get from second to third by way of center field, they can do that.
Not in NCAA.
Can't take it.
Nope. It actually does specifically say in the rule book that they're not allowed to run into the outfield. It's knocking them up.
Okay, so they can run to the edge of the grass if they like.
Right.
And then come through. Or they can take the straightest, most straight line. But however, when a play is being made, a tag play in this case, you have a certain area. You can only kind of avoid that tag by deviating a certain amount.
And 3 feet,
Is it 3 feet as well in the NCAA?
3 feet in either direction of the base path. Not to be confused with the base line.
Which so the is base the straight line between the imaginary straight line on in the middles.
That's right.
So
So the base line does not apply to the rules, right? The base line is the between the straight line between first and second, or second and third. The base path is established by the runner as they are approaching the bag that they're heading to, right? What is that straight line between that runner and the bag? That is the base path, and they can't deviate from that by 3 feet. So that's what you need to watch for when you're making a call between two bases. And does the runner try to dislodge the ball? So we had that one in the last tag play. That was also true. And then, does the defender have the ball in their glove or bare hand when tagging the runner? So,
and that only matters is what tagged them. So if the ball is in their bare hand, this is not a force play, so you could have the ball on your head if you step on a base and it's a force play. That's okay. But if you're, as long as it's securely held to your head.
Yes. It has to be in your glove or your mitt or in your hand, but yeah.
Yeah, and then does the defender have the ball in their glove or bare hand? So if I have it in my bare hand and I touch you with my glove.
Safe.
You ain't out.
Right. Yep, safe. And if I have it in my glove and I touch it with my bare hand, safe.
Yeah.
Right? So, you have to touch them with the ball or the ball in the mitt.
Yep, for sure.
So, there are some additional duties for this section 7 here for calling things. So, those additional duties start with know your check swing's responsibility and focus on the bat, the front hip of the batter, and home plate.
What would be the point of caring about those?
Did she swing?
Yeah. So you're determining. So the guidance that NCAA gives, what guidance is that on a check swing?
So the front hip of the batter, you're watching that front hip. And if that front hip opens up, she went.
Bang it. Regardless of really the position of the bat. The bats need 100% on their shoulder, and she just did a little tango shimmy or something.
That's right. So if you think about, somebody that when they're going to take a pitch, they start, they fire their hips, but then they left the bat, even like knob pointed at the pitcher. She didn't go, right? Mm-hmm. But when that bat starts to enter that strike zone or that contact zone, if she's opened up that front hip and then she pulls the bat back, it's like, yeah, dude, you went. Yep, you went. So it's really hard. It's one of the things you have to have that kind of guidance too, because in NC2A, what we have is the calling umpires on the line. Right. And so it's possible that the only umpire on the line is the wrong one.
It's the one that's check swing call. They're back. They can't see the open face of the.
That's right. So you got to watch that hip and the bat at the same time. So it's really good.
And then plate. What's the significance of the plate?
Watching the bat at the plate. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's not that it has to go past the plate.
Yeah. I wanted to point out is we're not talking about.
Yeah.
Because there are some people that say it's not a swing unless the bat gets to the front edge of the plate, for instance. I've heard someone say that before. Or breaks the plane of the plate, to the middle of the plate. Or they set they use the plate as some sort of benchmark. The wrist break.
Yeah, she never broke her wrist.
That this did this or that did that. They turned their head or they stepped in this.
So it's all of that stuff. Yeah. And just gives you this, take a look at all three of those things to make your determination if she went or not. So also, you should never signal or echo foul balls. And so this is a little bit of a pet peeve. Gave this feedback very recently to a high school umpire, very good high school umpire I just did some games with. The ball, I think you do this, Pete, if I'm not mistaken, too. Like a foul ball goes right over the home plate umpire's head, right? I mean, it's like would have been a foul tip if they caught it, but it went straight back and slammed the fence. And it's like two arms go up and go, foul! Like, everybody knows it was foul. Don't do that.
But when they say echo there, they mean like if the home plate umpire does signal, if you're a base umpire, don't.
That's right. Don't do it too. Yep, exactly. Now, what I will do if I have a first base coach who is a moron, not that coaches are morons, right? But if I have one that's allowing his little slapper to come busting it at 74.3 miles an hour down first base on the foul ball, right? That's been obviously foul, as I will go, foul ball, foul ball, foul. I'll put a hand up and kind of say, hey, runner, foul ball, stop.
Yeah, because they don't know. What they should do is contact and run like crap.
Yeah.
They're doing their job.
But that's right. Hey, they're doing their job, and the first base coach didn't stop her. And so I'm like, dude, it's a foul ball. Go back. So we'll do that. But don't echo it. Yeah. So don't, when they go foul ball, don't do that.
Yeah. But don't take that as, because literally if you just read it, it says never signal foul balls. So like there are foul balls you want to signal.
So wait, listen, I'm about to get in trouble. The very next bullet point says, never stop runners on foul balls or tell them not to slide.
Don't.
So I'm not sure why that one's in here.
We're going to call that the David Trout bullet.
Yeah, that's the David bullet right there. That's the oops. Okay, so I guess I got to stop doing that and just let first base coaches be more.
That is not your problem. The fact that they gas their runner by having a wide receiver run streaks four times in a row.
Shoot.
That's their problem.
Man, I was feeling pretty good until I just read that one.
This is why, incidentally, no matter how experienced you are, read the manual every so
read the
often.
Book.
You're going to see things that you saw, forgot, didn't stick.
Yeah, you're going to find some stuff. So I'm sure I've read that before, but it didn't stick. Yeah, like you said, Pete. All right. So what's the next one? Says something
always know the location of the ball.
Right.
There's lots of reasons for that.
That's a good thing.
Including not getting hit in the ear hole.
My exact thing I was going to say. Always work to keep the ball, the base, the runner, and the fielder in front of you. So this is the four elements that was in the initial opening paragraph of this section, section 7 of the CCA manual. All four elements in front of you. So sometimes that means coming in.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean button hooking because this is NC2A and we don't button hook, right, Pete?
No, we just run in the shape of a hook that you could use to do buttons if you wanted.
So
run in and you turn around, which is not the same as running in and turning around with a slight loop.
There you go, slight loop. Yes. So, all right. Arrive ahead of the action and obtain
the difference is really, some people button, you and I always do tight button hooks.
That's correct.
It's because, our military precision or the fact that we're slower and tighter means you get there faster. But a lot of people button hook wide. So maybe a lot of the guidance there in the NC2A stuff, it's more about not having people, because you would never, as the NCAA umpire, want to run in with this wide looping, a reverse J almost.
Right.
Like a button hook, actually, if you think about it, is very small. you know, it's a, not a J really. It's a, almost like an angle. I don't know, but like,
yeah.
So maybe that's the case. Maybe they're just, it's more about bad umpiring.
I think the horse died. I think we're beating on this dead horse, Pete. Sometimes you need to get in to keep all four elements ahead of you. Call it what you want, but don't call it a button hook if you're talking NCAA people. So
you can call it that if you're talking to me, though.
That's right. You talk to Pete, you can call it a button hook. So arrive ahead of the action and obtain a set primary calling position on every play. Boy, a struggle. This is a struggle for me.
Yeah.
The game is fast at the college level for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Girls are 1.6, 1.7 seconds to first base. Get to your spot, stop, you know, see the play, that kind of thing. One of the reasons that the SUP put the new position for rotated onto the field or counter-rotated onto the field. Nope. Rotated.
Mm-hmm.
When U3 is rotated onto the field at second base, the calling position is in that 45-degree wedge and really close so that they don't have to take a lot of steps to get into position because it's going to happen fast. Mm-hmm. Right? So you got to do that. What about tag-up plays, Pete?
Yeah, on tag-up plays, align yourself in fair foul territory to view the fielder and the runners. Consider where your next play will be in choosing your position.
Perfect. Remain aware of the running and throwing lanes when you move as a result of a hit or a play. Do not get hit by a thrown ball or player.
Throwing players?
Well, don't throw players either. They don't throw players. Usually, they don't throw players usually. So don't get hit by a player or a thrown ball. If you get hit by a thrown ball or a player, what do we call that, Pete? Bad umpiring.
Yeah, usually it's bad umpiring because you were not doing bullet point way back where it was. Always know the location of the ball. Bullet point five.
Yep. Use parallel movement with runners that are your responsibility. This will happen more in a two-person mechanic than it will in a U3. Three-person mechanic. Sorry, mm-hmm. I keep saying that. Keep messing that up. But parallel movement is a good thing for sure because you get your distance from your calling distance and then maintain that in a parallel manner. When coming inside the diamond on a hit, use a pivot, not a button hook. Not a button hook was added by me.
Yes. Yeah.
Editorial comment. Start the pivot no more than 10 feet inside the baseline. Always pivot open toward the runner coming at you. If necessary, move back outside the diamond to keep the ball in front of you. Pete is laughing because they are describing the USA mechanic button hook, but not calling it that, which is hilarious. I love it. But I mean, in all fairness, CCA, NC2A mechanic, stay out. Unless the ball goes out and you need to come in to keep the four elements in front of you.
Yep, yep.
So, which is different than USA softball. When moving through foul territory, always move between the base and the base coach. Never allow the coach to be between you and the base. Communicate your movement to avoid contact. Coming through, coach. Give me some space, coach. Coach, look out. Thump.
Shoulder
right?
check. Yeah.
So, you know, try that stuff. Recognize your next play and be ready to move to the next primary calling position when your previous call and responsibility is complete. So this is a big deal. And another thing that you will see experienced umpires do well is to understand their secondary responsibility and mm-hmm. move to a position for that responsibility. So that's really good. So if you're looking for something, if you're good at this already, but you're looking to be a whole lot better, figure that stuff out in the manual. What are the secondary responsibilities for this position that I'm in today? And mm-hmm. make darn sure that I'm getting those secondary responsibilities. That's a really cool thing to work on. You know, we talk about umpire improvement all the time. And like, what are you working on this year, Pete? Or what are you working on this year, David? One of those things is it could definitely be secondary positions. Make sure you understand what those responsibilities are.
Yep.
What's next, Pete?
So when an umpire is responsible for all calls at a base, this includes, but is not limited to, reading the play or throw to be in a position for all force and tag plays. Watch for any obstruction, interference, collision, or observe all touching of bases and rounding and returning. At first base specifically, it also involves the overrunning of first base and the enforcement of look-back rule.
Yeah, so a big thing to do on those overrun at first base, both on batted balls and walks. And you'll see this in college quite a bit, especially at the D3 level, JUCO, you know, that kind of stuff where people are, especially freshmen, younger teams, you know, coming from high school. The high school rules say once you overrun first base, if you start walking back toward first base, you're committed to first base.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to go to second, you're done, right? Mm-hmm. You're already committed to first and now you've broke the rules. That is not true for college. So until she's back on that bag again, she can take off and go. So you really got to watch that. So don't move yet. Don't take your eyes off of the play yet until everybody's back and it's all done. So two more here. Watch all plays not in your calling area and be prepared to give help if asked or provide help to get the call right if you are 100% sure you have additional information. So this one's tough. This one will get you in trouble sometimes. If you know that there was a blown, you know, it was just blown. Like, well, as an example. Oops, messed up. My plate umpire, who said, hey, she never really had control of the ball, had the coach not asked, I have every expectation that the plate umpire would have called time, got the crew together, and said, she didn't get her. I have information that you didn't have. She didn't get her. Without the coach asking. Is that an okay thing to do? You are 100% correct. It's an okay thing to do. Page 53 says so, and it's not the only place. Also in the manual, going for help, it says very much to do exactly that. Our job, Pete, is to get the call right for the girls.
Yeah.
Not wait on a coach to come and say.
And not protect the ego, possibly, concerned about the ego. Yeah, because it says give help if asked or provide help to get the call right if you're 100% sure that you have information. So that it is making the distinction. There is the one half of asked and the other half of I know a fact that is going to change someone's life here in a minute.
Right. Exactly. And the last point, very good point. Do not, all of these are good points.
Yeah.
Sorry, but this one, I really like, this one resonates. Do not over hustle. So as somebody who has to remind himself to hustle, do not over hustle though. Often a step or two is all that's needed to achieve the best position. Avoid crossing any running or throwing lanes. Tough one to do. Runner at first, ball hit the right field over your head, you know, and it's like, oh, I need to get in and pivot.
Yeah.
But the runner is halfway off the bag. Right. She's trying to decide. She's trying to be, if she was well coached, she's trying to be far enough she can make it if the ball's dropped or make it back if the ball's caught. Mm-hmm. Right. And you don't want to decide for her. Right.
Yeah. Depending on where she is, you may run in front of her or behind her. Her
so
path, she's
that's
back.
A so that's a stuck and tough position type thing to be in. But don't over hustle. One of the things, I had this piece of feedback. If you can tell, I've sped up my talk. I think we're running out of time here. But I had this piece of feedback for one of my high school partners the other day. Runner, nobody on base. Runner hits a ball out to the outfield, and my plate umpire is 10 feet from third base. What are you doing? Like, this is a single. It's not even a double. If it's a double, holding zone is good, right? But, I mean, if you look at actually the mechanic for that, in a two-umpire system, both college and high school ball, or USA ball, either one, is follow the batter runner, third of the way, then move to the center of the diamond in front of the pitcher's plate, right? And that's your new holding spot. And then if there's going to be a play at third, directly to third. So never in foul territory with nobody on. But this umpire is hustling, man. I mean, she's running. And not to the right. She's over running, doing too much. So don't over hustle. Pete, I think we're out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time. And that's out of the section.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, until next time.